It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:06 and 56 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, here to help you be more successful in Georgia or wherever you call from or wherever you came from to join us here in the Peach State, Georgia. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. If you have any question you'd like to ask, simple, complicated, weird, organic, not organic, argue with me, fine. 404-872-0750. If you want to see me in person, I'll be at the Sun City Peachtree Big Fall Crafts Festival this morning and afternoon from 11 to 1. They have lots and lots of activities. A dunk tank. I can't wait to see the dunk tank, not participate in the dunk tank, but they'll have that. A little putt-putt golf thing they're doing there in the driveway in front of the amenities building. So lots of things going on at Sun City Peachtree today. The festival goes from 11 to about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'll be there from 11 to 1. You can bring me your bugs and your weeds and your pictures and anything you want to talk about gardening. It's free and open to the public, and you'll get to see one of the premier active adult living sites in the southern United States. It is a beautiful place down near Griffin. Greg is in Fayetteville, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, Greg. How can I help?
Well, I got me some garlic from Kroger the other day, and I pickled about a half gallon of it in vinegar, and I've got a bunch of little small ones. I figured I'd go ahead and plant, and I know you'd said before plant them in December, but my wild garlic in the yard's already coming up strong, so I might be going to put a pound now.
Mine is too. So plant it now. Mine came from Kroger, I think, 5, 6, 10 years ago now, I guess, and it comes up in spots and places, and if you want more, then go to the grocery store and get more. Put it in the ground.
The tiny ones were too small to pickle, and the ones that we're blending, I'm cooking with, so it's all good there.
Yeah, but garlic is real cold tolerant, so if it sprouts, if you water it now, it may sprout between now and the 1st of December, and if it does, fine. The frost won't hurt it at all, and by next year, it'll be much bigger cloves. You'll have some good-looking garlic by next year.
No, I hope so. All right, that's good. Now, I've got the same problem with my azaleas and rhododendrons you talked about earlier, but I thought it might have been fire blight. The leaves are turning brown, just like, fire blight.
They don't get fire blight. That is the problem. No, they don't get fire blight. Fire blight is for the rosaceous family members, and they are not in rosacea family. So fire blight gets on pears and apples and quince and two or three other things in that family, but not on rhodies and azaleas.
All right. Well, I'm glad to get that clarified. So it's got to be the root rot.
Likely. Let's put it likely. Likely to be root rot, Greg.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Keep them happy and fat, Greg. We'll see you soon.
I'm getting on all right.
Yeah, Mama's doing fine. Thanks for calling. Thanks for asking.
All right, bye-bye.
We'll see you soon.
No doubt.
Becky is in Watkinsville and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Becky, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help?
Japanese maple tree. It's about 15 years old. The leaves are not turning the brilliant red that they usually do by this time of year.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's drought related.
Nighttime temperature related.
Oh.
Yeah. When nighttime temperatures were, they're not now, but when they were up in the 70s, that was about the time when the Japanese maples initiated their color change to get that nice, pretty purple or sort of red orange that you get on Jap maples at this time of year. And it was really, really hot, and the chemistry didn't quite work right there. And so now they're either still green or they're sort of a muddy purple, muddy orange, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll just wait and see. Daytime temperatures have a place in the whole process, too. So 85 degrees is not exactly what they were expecting with 55-degree nighttime temperatures. It's more like Japanese maple needs in the high 60s. Oh, and during the day, and the mid to low 50s during the night in order to get the nice color change on it, which is not what we have right now. So
it could still come.
It still could come, yeah. Maybe December this year. You can brag to all your neighbors about your pretty Japanese maple in December or Thanksgiving sometime.
We hope so.
Yeah.
We hope so. Thank you very much.
Keep your fingers crossed. We'll see.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Becky.
Thank you. Bye.
If you want to take Becky's place in line, the number is 404-872-0750. Susan is out in Lilbert, and Susan joins us on Lawn and Garden. Susan, hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help?
Early in the spring, or either on your program or in the newspaper, you mentioned a seed that we could put over for winter cover in the vegetable garden that would add nutrients.
Yeah.
I can't find my note on what it is.
Well, we got a couple of choices. A lot of people use plain old annual ryegrass, winter ryegrass. You buy it usually as a lawn grass, and people put it in with fescue sometimes in the fall. But the ryegrass can be planted on a garden. It keeps the soil from blowing away during the wintertime. It, to some extent, helps to open it up by having roots that go down into the soil. And when spring comes, you chop it down or mow it down, whatever you want to do, and then till it in, and you got a nice organic looking seed bed, and that's where you plant your vegetables.
What's the other one? Because I know it wasn't
ryegrass. We got Austrian winter pea is one that will add nutrients because it's a pea, and peas bring nitrogen into the soil. So Austrian winter pea is harder to find at garden centers. A lot of times I see one or two hardware stores out in the country will have them, but I've heard of people who just order it online, and so they get the Austrian winter peas and bring that in. Clover is a possibility as well. You can put clover, that'll bring nitrogen into the soil too.
Okay.
And you can find clover most of the time at independent nurseries and hardware stores too.
Right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
We've been listening
to your program for years.
Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
We've got Bob and Bogart. Oh, I love it when you got two B's in a row like that. Hey, Bob and Bogart, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. I planted a small gardenia bush probably about a month ago, and I planted it with some soil amender and some Osmocote, but I've been watering the heck out of it just because of the drought situation, and all the leaves are starting to turn yellow. And I've tried adding some iron chelator, and I've added some Epsom salt, thinking that magnesium and iron might be the problem, but it still continues to turn yellow. I'm really afraid it's just going to die altogether, but I didn't know if there was anything I could do at this point to save it.
But it's yellow but not dry, right? The leaves
Correct.
Are... And is every one of them or just the interior leaves or every leaf is yellow?
No, it's not every leaf. It's just it seems to be that they really just kind of start turning yellow. I wouldn't say it's necessarily from the interior, but just kind of from the bottom up. And what I've been doing, because eventually those yellow leaves fall off, I've been picking them off so that I can see if it's continuing to turn yellow. And sure enough, you know, no matter how many I pick off, the next day there's another five or six more that are yellow again. And like I said, at this point, it's probably about at least a quarter, if not half, of the leaves that were on it originally have turned yellow and fallen off.
I'll give you a theory. And I'll give you actually the conclusion to my theory before I get there, which is, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Here's my theory that gets to the don't worry about it.
Okay.
When you planted the gardenia and you put the Osmocote in place, there was a good slow release, but still an appreciable charge of nitrogen that went in. Mm-hmm. And the gardenia at the time, it was, how long did you say since you planted it? How long ago?
Probably about a month.
Yeah. Okay. So the gardenia, a month ago, it was early November, late September, and the gardenia really and truly was thinking about, I'd like to go to bed now. It's getting sort of chilly a little bit at night, and the day length is changing. I think I'll go to bed. But, Dad, come here. This guy's putting fertilizer on me. What am I going to do? And so the gardenia, Bob, started putting some growth on, new growth, a little bit of new growth on it, sending nitrogen out to the ends of the branches where the new leaves are. And as a result of that change in how the leaves were behaving, it thought, well, I don't really need these old leaves. Maybe Bob knows what he's doing, and so these old leaves are no longer necessary. I'll just turn them yellow and let them drop off, which is, of course, then leads to Bob saying, oh, man, I got to put some Epsom salts. I got to put, you know, other things on it to right the ship and get this gardenia back green again. But my theory here, if it holds, is that this is still okay. You haven't lost all the leaves. They're not turning brown, which would say they got dried out. And if it's only a quarter that are yellow and falling off, the rest are green, I think you got a good gardenia.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it seems it's kind of the same thing with the Japanese maple, a blood good maple that we planted where, you know, it was a really young tree, but we planted it at the same time, same kind of way we planted it, and the leaves have kind of all dried up and fallen off, but now there's new growth buds all over the place. So I think I've just confused all these plants.
Okay. okay. The confused plants in Bogart, but other than that, we think they're okay.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Bob. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
All Crystal, right. Crystal Wheeler, our call screener this morning, and I were talking about the movie Sully, which I really, really enjoyed. Tom Hanks. Boy, it was a great movie. And even though I knew what was going to happen at the end, my heart was in my throat for the whole movie. If you have not seen Sully, you'll really enjoy it, even though you know everybody survives and gets out of the plane okay. Just the images and the things and his nightmares and things like that, you can't quite decide if they're for real or not for real. Ooh, it makes that whole movie really, really nerve-wracking, but also very enjoyable because you know that Sully is going to be okay. Everybody on the plane is going to be okay. Bob's gardenia is going to be okay. And I think my theory is correct on that. In the next half hour, Mickey Gasaway will join us, of course, to offer the Pike Pick of the Weekend. And then this morning, right after the break, we'll have Ann and Marietta asking why her pear tree and the pears are not ripening. You can add your name to the list at 404-872-0750. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
Turn up the spooky. You're not so spooky weather forecast brought to you by Ackerman Security. Oh, Mother Nature, Mother Nature, Mother Nature. That is a spooky thing. Mother Nature decided to make it record-breaking heat this weekend. 84 today, 85, 86, maybe tomorrow and Monday. Overnight lows down into the mid-50s and not a speck of rain in the sky. Here's a spooky thing for Monday night. I'm threatening to bring potatoes and give potatoes to all the little kids who come to my house trick-or-treating. We're going to see if they like a potato for their treat. It's 8:24, and Ann and Marietta joins us. Hey, Ann, do you want a potato for Halloween?
Well, how about a hard pear?
A hard pear? That would not be much better. Is that what you have?
I do. This tree is probably 30 years old, and I think originally there was another pear tree in the yard.
Yeah.
But there's only one, and none of the pears ever ripen, and they're great for the crows and the birds and the squirrels, but not for me.
And they fall to the ground, and the yellow jackets and the wasps and
yes.
Possums, yeah.
And my dog.
Oh, bless his heart. You know, how are you thinning them in the spring, Miss Ann?
Well, we just cut off lower. It's tall. It's about, I don't know, 40 feet high.
Well, Ann or somebody like Ann is going to have to go out there and thin some fruit in May, mid-May is about right. Basically, you need to have pears about 6 inches apart from each other, not those great big clusters of pears hanging down on the end of the branches, because that's what causes them to be real small. The tree can't support all the fruit that it's put on, so you have to thin them out some in May.
Okay, so do I not need, you know, for reproductive purposes, a male-female situation?
As long as you're getting fruit, you've got the pollen from somewhere, from another pear in the neighborhood, from a quince, from something that's providing pollen. So as long as you got pears, pollination is not your problem. It's simply size and transport of carbohydrates out to the fruit. That's what it wants. And one of the things you can do, if you want something to do in early spring maybe, and when the leaves are just coming on the tree, give it fertilizer then, because that will stimulate it to put even more leaves on. More leaves mean more sugar means more fruit, happier Ann, and more to eat perhaps, and less for the dog and the possums. So fertilizers will help, but if you can't get 40 feet up in the tree, at the very least get a pole and put a real strong metal hook on the end. And frankly, what you can use is one of those garden claw things that has a hook on the end of it. Just tape it. Use tape it to the end of the pole, and use that to go up in the tree and pull down fruit. Just jerk it real hard and jerk the fruit out when it's about an inch in diameter in May. and thin it out that way.
Okay, and so the fruit should ripen then.
Yeah, it should. It should ripen a lot better and be bigger too.
Thank you so much, Walter.
My pleasure to be of service, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
It's 8:27 on a Saturday morning. Mickey Gasway, the Pike Pick of the Weekend, is going to be at 8:35 this morning. Chris in Decatur wants to join us and talk about soil temperatures as well. You can call us at 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:35 on a Saturday morning, 56 degrees outside. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. Before we go to Mickey Gasway, I want to thank Scott Maxson for teaching me something this morning. Scott went to the grocery store yesterday and saw some grapes. He thought, wow, these are weird-looking grapes. They're long. They're about as big as the end of your little finger, longer than that, for an inch and a half long. Long grapes, they're called moondrop grapes, right, Scott?
Moondrop grapes.
Moondrop grapes. Well, I looked them up because I was so intrigued by their shape, because they look like long pickles, for lack of a better word. It's something weird to give away on Halloween. But it turns out they were developed by a breeder who said, I was just trying to find different shapes of grapes. Round is boring. And so he tried to get different shapes of grapes. The first one he introduced, Scott, was called the witch finger grape, because it was pink and it looked like the end of your little finger. He said, amazingly enough, nobody would buy witch finger grapes. They wouldn't eat anything with the name witch or finger attached to it. So now they became something like gumdrop grapes, and people accept those. They developed the moondrop grapes. Coming up soon, cotton candy grapes, which he said are really, really sugar-licious and would be really
sweet.
I've
had those.
Awesome.
They are really good.
I need to go to the grape section of the grocery store more often. All right. Well, I've learned something more about grapes today. Witch finger, no longer available. Moondrop, grape drop, cotton candy, they're all available at your grocery store. Halloween coming up Monday evening. Mickey Gasway coming up right now on News Talk WSB. Hey, Mickey.
Hey, how are you?
Did you know about all those grapes?
I like the ones that taste crispy. Those are the ones
sure.
I always about.
Sure. Well, Scott shared with me some of his grapes, and they were very crispy. These moondrop grapes are very grapey tasting.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
back a long time ago, when I worked for the Extension Service in DeKalb County, we had a meat processing center, and we would slaughter people's pigs and cows and things like that. And I asked specifically one time if you could please get the skull of a cow, and if you'd slice it in half lengthways, I'd really appreciate it, and we'll take all the flesh off of it in the steam cooker, which we did. So I have the skull of a cow sliced lengthways with red lights inside of it. That's one thing that I'm going to have. And then I'm going to have some horrible mask. I can't remember who the mask is, but it's pretty horrible, that I keep in the basement and don't show except on Halloween. And then I'm going to offer the little kids a choice between a potato and a Snickers bar.
I wonder which they'll take.
Which do you think they'll take? What are you going to be, Mickey Gasway?
I don't know. I'm thinking about being an old lady. I thought that would be an easy thing to do. You know, I don't know.
I kept my mouth shut, because both of us are of that age where it's not too hard to imagine the gray hair on my head belonging to an old guy. That's for sure. Yeah. Oy, so let's talk more. Let's talk about joyful things, not scary things. Let's talk about what is on sale for 20% off in all Pike locations this weekend.
It's heuchera.
And heuchera, even though it's a weird name to pronounce, H-E-U-C-H-E-R-A, heuchera.
Looks like heuchera. That's
heuchera.
What a lot of people call
it. It's an awesome, awesome plant. Shade tolerant, colorful, way. How many different colors? Orange and purple and yellow and caramel sort of.
Bicolored.
Yeah, bicolored too.
Beautiful.
Yeah, heucheras are a great plant, and I have gotten great success on mine, putting them in containers by my front porch with a real light-colored variegated euphorbia. I think they're terrific plants, and 20% off, this is an awesome deal.
Well, you know, we used to think they would just go in the shade, but they'll take a good bit of sun.
Yeah.
Mine on the front porch. They have a little more color.
Easy half sun, if not three-quarter sun during the day.
And mine do, I'm like you, mine do super in containers. I mean, they do really good, and they look good with autumn ferns and with hellebores. They do good. They're just great plants.
I think one of the things that happens after you've had one for 4 or 5 years is they'll develop a neck, sort of like African violets do, and all you have to do is dig them up and bury them a little bit deeper, like African violets, and they'll root down and be perfectly happy and look neckless, I guess.
Yeah, they're beautiful plants. I love them, and there's so many different ones now. You know, actually, heucas were a native plant here.
Native plant,
alum
root, I think, is a common name for them. But I guess we've all started calling them heucas, and we're happy doing that. It's tiarellas and heucas. Heucarellas and Carl's breeds for that. And so the Carl Bells are not on sale, just the heucas, right?
Well, Carl Bells are heucas.
Oh, Carl Bells. Oh, no, wait a minute. What's tiarella then?
You're thinking about foam flower.
Oh, foam flower.
Tiarella.
That's right. Got them confused. Okay. Foam flower, Carl Bells, and alum root are heucas. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But they're still great plants. And this is one of those plants, I think, Mickey, that we need to tell people, be sure and buy the soil conditioner and mix it in with the soil before you plant. They want a woodsy, loose, organic soil.
That's right. I think that's the secret. And that's why they do so well in containers, I think.
Yeah.
But they do great in the ground if you'll really, really amend the soil. That's the thing. And don't overwater them. Once they're established, they don't need much water at all.
And speaking of planting, no problem right now in planting things in the soil right now. The soil temperatures are in the high 50s, I think, and so planting pansies and the snapdragons and the heucas, of course, and all the other perennial plants that Pike has on sale, no problem in planting them. You can still water them once they're in the ground. So don't worry about the dryness of the general landscape weather conditions right now. Lawns are a problem, sure, but as far as perennials and annuals and trees and shrubs, if you can get the water to them with a hose, then you can water without a problem, and you can establish them, and they'll look really, really great next year. Planted in the fall, they're so much better than planted in the spring.
So much happier. They get that root growth in the wintertime, and then they're set for spring. I think you're absolutely right. Come if you want to see some pretty pansies, come by Pike at West Cobb. They are so pretty. They are beautiful. They've done these purple ones, and then they've done some yellow and oranges. Yeah. They are so pretty.
I think the ones at Toco Hill are pretty nice, too. I mean,
well,
I go for my
Pike. I haven't been out there, I have to say. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're beautiful.
At all Pike locations, pansies for sale, of course, at their regular price. But heucas is on sale, 20% off. All you have to do, go to the cash register and say, hey, this is the Pike pick of the weekend. I heard Mickey say it was. So all the heucas of their many varied colors and shade tolerance are on sale. All Pike nurseries,
too. And I want to say one more thing about the heucas, and that is that they just hold that color all winter long.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What's so good about it, especially if you've got a shady spot and you can't grow pansies in it. Try some heucas because it'll really give you some good color. I love them. They're one of my favorites.
Hard to pronounce or hard to spell, but easy to pronounce, heucas, and easier to buy, 20% off all Pike locations. And where might we find all the Pike locations here in Atlanta?
At PikeNursery.com.
That is exactly right. Mickey, how's the University of Alabama doing today?
Well, they're not playing today.
Well, in that case, we can not worry about what we're going to say about them then.
That's right. I'll say Roll Tide, but I'll say go Dogs today, too. I'll be for the Dogs today.
We'll see you soon, Mickey.
Okay. Bye-bye.
43 minutes past the hour. Michael in Pine Log joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Michael. Good morning.
Morning.
How can I help?
I'm trying to find out if there's anything I can do at this time of the year to help cut down on me having such an invasion of sheep soil next spring. It's in my garden and in my herb beds, and I don't want to spray it with anything. And
man, if you don't want to spray it, then what have you got left, Michael? You got digging it up, and you know how to dig up things. So,
well, I've dug up plenty of that, but it just keeps coming back. So,
you know, it is an eminently edible plant. And I think if you could just persuade your neighbors that you have the only heirloom sheep sorrel in the neighborhood and you'll be happy to sell it to them for, you know, $5 a bunch or something like that, then you'll have a line out the driveway and say, I want some of that heirloom sheep sorrel. It is good stuff. I mean, really, literally, it is very edible, very sort of acidic tasting, a little bit of tang to it. Put it in a salad, put it in neighborhood, you know, get-together salads. It's really delicious.
usually the stuff that you want, like the things that you eat, the stuff that doesn't grow good. So maybe if we start eating it, it'll quit growing. So
I will let you experiment with that and find out. But basically, if you don't want to spray, it's digging it out and just keeping after it so it never sets seed. That's how it spreads.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yeah, things that are bad for us. Snicker bars for Halloween. Don't think that I didn't buy an extra sticker bar or two for Walter on Halloween. Yes, I did. At 844, Jenny is out in Marietta and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Jenny, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. I have a question. I'm trying to keep my shrubs alive in my lawn, but I have hardwoods that are over 100 feet tall.
Mm.
And they're shredding, of course, leaves like crazy, mainly because we haven't had a decent rain here in close to a month or so.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm wondering, do I need, and they're growing in ivy, but the ivy isn't up the trees, but do I need to go out there and put two hoses together and water those? Water them?
I think the biggest tragedy for your landscape would be losing that big oak tree. We don't care so much about the ivy. We don't care so much about the lawn. We don't care really so much about the shrubs around the tree. What we care about is that monster tree that you do not want to lose the shade that it spent all these years developing. So if you want to guarantee more health for the tree than less, a couple of soaker hoses, join them end to end, make a nice coil right out about the drip line of the tree. That's where all the absorbing roots are, drip line and beyond. And soak it down. Give it, let it run about half strength overnight, and just let it soak the soil. That tree will be so happy with you.
The problem is I have a bunch of them. I have over 20 trees in that yard, and they're in the perimeter
of the backyard.
I have to water them all is what you're saying, right?
Water as best you can, or prioritize and say, this one gives me the most shade. This is the most nicely placed oak tree for the landscape appearance. This one over here is sort of not so good. It's sort of crooked on the end, so we're not going to water that one. Sometimes you do have to make priorities, but if there's an overall priority, it's trees before lawn, trees before annuals.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jenny, good luck with it.
Okay, bye.
404-872-0750, the number on Lawn and Garden. I cannot wait. In just a few minutes, we'll talk to Marie in Doraville to find out, do bullets poison the ground? Is that correct? Bullets poison the ground? We'll find out. We'll be right back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
Halloween coming up Monday evening. Be sure you got your candy, or potatoes in my case, ready to give away to the little goblins coming down the driveway. Weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Sunny, near record high temperatures for the next 3 days. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the mid to low 60s, perhaps high 50s. Right now it's 57 degrees. Stay tuned. Atlanta's most accurate and dependable forecast comes up in 10 minutes. And the dogs, the University of Georgia Bulldogs, on your home of the dogs at 11:30 this morning. Marie is in Doraville and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Marie, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to know, if bullets are shot into a bank of dirt, does this interfere with the vegetation growing up on the surface? Do the bullets poison the land to the point that the grass above it would die or trees would be damaged?
Marie, I used to have a little bell here in the studio, and I would ring it whenever I got a question for the first time in my memory. If I'm not mistaken, you would be a bell ringer this morning. I've never had this question before.
I thought that. I have a brother that doesn't like for my grandsons to shoot, and he thinks it's poisoning the ground, and so he wanted me to call.
All right. As far as plants go, I'm doubtful that the lead is going to hurt the plants other than a direct hit on the roots of a plant. And usually they're not growing within 5 or 6 inches of the surface of the soil because that's not where roots grow. Mostly they grow a little bit deeper than that, and the soil absorbs the impact of the bullet. So, yes, you have deformation and shrapnel and all that kind of stuff, but it's usually within the first 2 or 3 or 4 inches of soil surface in the bank they're shooting into. The thing that you do a little bit worry about with a lot of bullets into one area is if there's any human danger from that, because lead obviously is a contaminant in the soil and around people's houses that are real old that have the lead-based paint. And there are various strategies for either removing soil or covering the soil around houses so that the little vegetable gardens that people have by old houses are not contaminated by lead and the dust that comes from the soil. So I don't think there's going to be any harm to the plants. Yeah. Harm to people, I think it's always is a good idea to minimize contact with the soil where bullets have, a lot of them anyway, have been shot into the bank there, and keep the kids away from it. Don't let them play in it when it's raining and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, none of that would apply because this is way out from the house and down in the pasture in the woods and no gardening going on. And so I don't think there's any harm in it.
You never know, Marie. In 10 or 20 years when Atlanta has gone from here to Chattanooga, then there might be a subdivision right there behind the house and somebody might be building a house and planting a garden where the kids used to shoot bullets out there on the bank. You never know.
And you think the effects of it might last 100 years?
Well, the lead on humans, yes. But as far as the lead on the plants, I just don't think there's any harm to them at all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Marie. Thanks, darling. Great, interesting bell-ringing type question. It's 8:57 at News Talk WSB. You remember this afternoon, this morning, I guess, from 11 to 1, I'll be down at Sun City Peachtree down in Griffin. You can go to suncitypeachtree.com to get details about the big Arts and Crafts Festival. Bring me your garden questions, your baggies, your bugs, your weeds, and whatever is troubling you, and I will be there to meet you. 11 o'clock, Sun City Peachtree down near Griffin. It's been a great morning. Crystal Wheeler drug her aching body, her sick body, off of her bed this morning to come in because Ashley Frasca was hurting even more and could not come in. So thanks to Crystal for screening calls today. Scott Maxson got us a great scary music all morning long. Thanks to you, Scott, for your good work in keeping us on the air. If you didn't get your question answered, go to walterreeves.com. Type in one or two words in the search line. Follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest. Sign up for the email newsletter. Other than that, you know where to find me. I'll be right here next Saturday morning for another edition of Lawn and Garden.